For me, being two-spirit means that there are two spirits inside of me, and every day I wake up and I feel different. I'm just like, wow, I feel very masculine today. Some days I wake up and I feel very feminine, and I feel like I have like these two identities that are living inside of me and that are always like fighting for to be on the outside. But yeah, that's basically what two-spirit is for me.
In this episode, we met up with non-Indigenous and Inuit youths during Pride in Kujawiak. If you haven't heard about Kujawiak Pride, it's because it only started in 2021. Before that, people had to be proud during their free time, during vacations, or on their work break. But today, Pride in Kujawiak is alive and strong. Welcome to Ensemble Tous. In this podcast series, Fierté Montréal will take you along on a road trip throughout Quebec to discuss 2SLGBTQIA+ realities with people from the community. My name is Coco Béliveau, comedian and co-pilot. Does anybody know how to fly a plane?
Is it recording? I'm Toby. I use he it pronouns, and I was one of the two people to start organizing Pride in Kujawiak.
I'm Nivi. I'm a two-spirit Inuk artist from Nunavik, and my pronouns are they, them.
I am Sorali. I go by they, them, and I am pansexual.
My name is Ray. I'm a white non-binary lesbian living in Nunavik. My pronouns are he, they, she.
Hi, my name is Thomas Kolak. I'm 31 years old. I'm gay in Nunavik in Kujawiak. Living here in Nunavik has been a blessing and a curse at the same time. It's so isolated, but we know everybody here. And we know who judge and who judges and something like that. But I love it here. I don't know if I'm ever gonna move or not, but we'll see if I only found the right person, I guess.
We had the pleasure of speaking with Toby, Nivi, Sarah-Lee, Ray, and Tommy. Five young people living in Kujawiak, a northern village in Nunavik, located on the banks of the Cosoac River. Unfortunately, I am currently in Montreal, about 1,443 kilometers from the banks of the Cosoac. And yet, despite the distance that separates us, we all have something that reunites us. We are queer.
Yeah, apparently, when I was young, all my cousins already knew, apparently, that I was gay, which I didn't even know. But I know I was already attracted to men when I was 11 years old. When I actually had a vacation with my cousin going to Montreal. And I was so amazed about how city life was and how everybody was diverse. And I was already attracted to men already, and I didn't know how to say or how to feel about it, because it's supposed to be, we were taught to be only man and woman kind of relationship during my time. And I came up at 16 to my closest person ever. It was my cousin, Olayu. And I actually came out 18 to the public. And throughout the day, I've been gay ever since. Yes.
I first realized that I was queer. I thought that I was bi because I had a crush on a girl. And after that, I started hanging out with Toby, and we started talking about gender identity and stuff like that. And I realized that I never really felt comfortable being called a girl or going by she, her pronouns. So I went by she, they, and then eventually went by they, them. And I tried coming out to my family as bi when I thought that I was bi. And my dad was more concerned about me. Like, I should have come out as biromantic and not bisexual, or I should have just said the word bi, because as soon as I said bisexual, the only thing he was concerned about is, you're having sex? Because I was like 13, and he was so concerned. He did not care that I was attracted to him, and he was just like, oh my God, are you okay? Yeah, and Last year, during Elbig Jam, I performed a lot of my own original songs for the first time, and one of those songs was a lesbian love song. And I did not realize this at the time, but I ended up coming out to basically the entire town on stage as soon as I said, "This is about a girl that I fell in love with." I got off stage, and then people were like, "Oh my God, Nevi, you're so brave." And I was like, "What did I do?" Literally, what did I do? And then I realized that I had come out in such a dramatic way. But to me, I was just like, huh? So yeah, the public's reaction to me, I think I'm the most widely known queer person in this town because of this. And the public's reaction, it was either people were very excited or people were completely disgusted. I could see people's reactions while I was on stage. There was some older people that literally left as soon as I said that. So I knew it was like this already, so it didn't really affect me. But yeah, that's it.
Nevi's accidental declaration shows us that in the absence of figures to represent us in our communities, simply existing can sometimes be seen as brave. And that's exactly why I won't stop wearing crop tops, despite recent requests that I cover up my muffin top. We are heroes in the eyes of those who seek to find themselves in their communities. Nevi as an artist, and me as a person who refuses to buy new pants.
For my coming out journey, sexuality-wise, it was actually pretty easy. I already knew that I was some form of gay as a small little child. I didn't know which kind, but I knew that I wasn't straight. And I guess my mom knew because randomly, I think I must have been like 12 or 13, she knocked on my door and she was like, "Can I talk to you?" And then she came to me and she was like, "Hey, if you like women, if you like men, if you like anyone and everyone, that's okay. And I'll accept you. And you don't have to tell me right now if you don't know." And at the time, I was identifying as pansexual. And I got really emotional and then cried and explained to her what pansexual was. And then she gave me a hug and said that she'll accept me no matter what. And that, like, sealed in, like, my queer identity. It was like... coming out as trans was definitely a lot more difficult. Family-wise, my grandmother has always been, like, really, really accepting of me, thankfully. Before I even knew what being trans was, I wanted to wear, like, a suit and a tie instead of a dress to, like, a Christmas concert that we were doing. And the only reason my mom let me is because my grandma was like, "Let him do what he wants." she's really sweet.
For some people, coming out can be an act of liberation, an opportunity to introduce ourselves fully to our loved ones. For others, the religious values of those close to us can create tension. No matter how many times I explain to my grandpa that priests wear dresses, some people simply aren't ready to break the chains of heteronormativity.
So my story for coming out is very long and convoluted. It's not really like I knew that I was gay at this point in time and I knew that I was trans at this point in time. It was more just like when I went through puberty, like when I was 12 years old, first of all, I started getting really depressed and I didn't know why. Plot twist, it was gender dysphoria. And the second thing was that I started like being really into watching music videos of my favorite female musician, like way too into it. And like I spent like a lot of time watching those videos. And looking back on it, it was like, wow, I was a little 13-year-old lesbian. So that, it was, I didn't come out to anyone in my family officially ever because I was raised Catholic and my parents are like really terrible people. My siblings are like not supportive. So mostly I was on my own in that way. The people that I came out to were my friends at school who were like, they spent a lot of time online. So by default, they were just like more queer friendly. And I trusted them, felt safe coming out to them. And also like people that I knew online were like my biggest allies, like people that I dated and people that I made friends with online were the realest to me, like more real than most of the people that I knew in real life. Coming out as trans was very different because I had been kicked out of my family home for being queer and I had to move in with my aunt and I moved from Catholic school to public school. And like the first week that I was there, there was a Pride Club meeting and I was very excited because I had never gone to a Pride Club meeting before. And I went in and the whole classroom was like so packed. It was so full that there was people like lined up along the backs of the walls. And I was like, oh my God, how is this even real? And they went around the whole class asking people's pronouns. And when they got to like my section of the classroom, I hid under a table. I didn't know why I was doing that. I was just like, I don't want to answer this question. And then later on that night, I had like made some new friends at my school and we're all hanging out at a campfire. And one of them just like, I didn't tell them like what pronouns I preferred. I kind of avoided that question with them as well. And one of them just like kind of offhandedly referred to me with he, him pronouns. And I was like, ah, I see. I remember that just so vividly. I was like rolling around in the glass and someone was like, oh, look at him there. And I was like, ding, light bulb went off. And then later on, after I medically transitioned with testosterone and surgery, I became more comfortable in my body and realized that when the body dysphoria is gone, I don't really feel dysphoric when people use she, her pronouns for me or they, them pronouns for me. And I've also done a lot of like thinking about the gender binary and how useless and senseless it actually is. So that's why I identify as non-binary. I'm still a lesbian because that's like the sexuality that I've identified the most with throughout my life.
I honestly don't know that much about myself back then, since I don't really remember my past that much anymore. Forgetting a lot of stuff lately. But I did figure out what LGBTQ was when I was 12 or 11-ish. And I became an ally for that. Then I don't know where I started liking girls, so I came out as bisexual. I was always thinking of telling my mom about this, but like I wasn't sure if she would support me and stuff. I came out to her about last year, to her as lesbian. I had a lot of friends that I was very used to be comfortable with. So I told them that I was lesbian and stuff. They were quite afraid if the girls like were afraid if I had a crush on them or whatever. They were not supportive at all. They completely ignored me ever since I came out. And I was very sad about it, but somehow, I don't know why, but I still hang out with them until one day I heard them backstabbing me and stuff, spreading rumors about me that was not true. I got very depressive and stuff ever since, but now I honestly don't care. I am a non-binary pansexual person now. And I'm very happy. Last year when I went to the Pride Parade, I met a lot of nice friends. And yeah, I guess that's just very much mostly about me.
A lot of today's teens' primary sources of information and support are on the internet. Their phones are the portals to the acceptance that they don't find in their daily lives. But accidents happen frequently on the information superhighway. Like when I accidentally spent $250 on Candy Crush, a game frequently played by people in the LGBTQ community due to the fact that it features the colors of the rainbow.
Talking to people online was already like a huge support for me, and then moving up here, being isolated, I was kind of like already used to it, but the internet here was really, really slow, so that was really stressful for me. I used to like stress out trying to send like a single message to my friends in the morning to like remind myself that there was some people out there who really saw me for who I was and valued me as a person instead of just like my coworkers who are all just like shitty straight men who would make transphobic jokes within earshot of me, and like they didn't know that I was queer or trans. I didn't come out to them. Even though I sound like this, I say that they didn't know. So I didn't like actually come out to them, but it was just like be really horrible. And I was just constantly surrounded by, in my life in general, just constantly surrounded by people who didn't really like understand or accept me. So having a support network online has been like life-saving for me. I would without a doubt say that having friends online is one of the main reasons that I'm still alive to this day. My birth mom would have you believe that the internet turns people gay and trans, and that the trans agenda is brainwashing kids online. And it's just absolutely ridiculous. There are people out there campaigning to restrict children's access to this information because that's literally what destroys people. The worst point in my life was when I was living with my family and nobody used the right name or pronouns for me, and they were all saying transphobic things to me all the time, and my only refuge was the internet. Also, I wanted to mention the subreddit r/FTM, which was like the only information source that I had when I was young, like a young teenager, for like being a trans masculine person. All of the information I got about like transitioning and how to present masculine and like ways to feel more confident about yourself, it was all through the internet. And I don't even know like what sort of cesspit of self-hate I would be sucked into if I hadn't found that. Yeah, so internet saves lives, I would say.
For some people, opening up to others on social media can be a life jacket when they feel like they're sinking. For others, unfortunately, it's just a regular jacket, which offers little to no help when someone is drowning.
For me, for the internet, online media, social media, it was a little bit difficult for me because here, you're in an isolated area. It was hard for me. But when I moved to Montreal, I was in Cégep Marie-Victorin, my whole world changed, my whole perspective, whole change online as well. And it was more option. There was no option at all here when I tried online dating. And of course, Grindr was the thing back then.
It's so right.
And yeah, and the social media and Facebook, they was mostly judgmental towards me when I first came out, and straight men calling me names. You're not supposed to be like this. No, I hate you right now. It's like, you're not belonging in this community. And it felt hurt, but I know they couldn't say that in front of my face, but only social media. And they act like they were friends towards me or trying to be friendly in public view, but on social media, it was totally judgmental. But it never faced me.
I started learning about the LGBTQ plus when I was around 11-ish from the internet watching a YouTube video. I was very confused about it because since I didn't know what it was, so I told my mom what it is. She wasn't really that comfortable talking about it, saying that don't talk about it, you're going to go to hell to do that for that. So I never did. But it did got very much my curiousness. So I went through the internet to check what it is. And I realized that I never really liked boys. I did fake it to my friends because they never believed me that I never had a crush and stuff. So I would say, oh, hey, I have a crush on that boy, which is not true.
Toby, Tommy, Sarah Lee, Ray, and Nivi have all had inherently different experiences on their journey towards self-acceptance. And while understanding ourselves is a personal journey, much of our understanding comes from our relationships with our community and the stories of those around us.
I feel like I have like these two identities that are living inside of me and that are always like fighting for to be on the outside. But yeah, that's basically what Two-Spirit is for me. It's very connected to my Inuk spirituality, because with colonization, we lost a lot of our practices, like our shamanic practices. And I am studying our Inuk shamanic practices and trying to piece it all together so that I can practice our shamanism. I'm getting there slowly, but we were very connected to the spirits. And back in the day, there was people who identified as trans or non-binary, which is Two-Spirit. And we were very accepting of it because it was a very spiritual thing to find who you were and who you are. And I think we've lost a lot of that. And I'm very excited to hopefully teach people about these things that are in our culture, but they've forgotten.
Throughout history, we have learned that the past forms the present. Like the river and current that sculpts the earth, the older generation knows the path. But the new current slightly modifies the route over time. Or at least that's what I think. I mean, I don't know how it works. I'm not a scientist or anything.
This is Tommy. For elders in our community, they are being raised as Catholic. They've been taught by, during those generations, my mom also is elderly, but she never went down, thank God, for colonization, for indigenous people who were sent down. This is part of my aunt's history. They were not accepting at all whatsoever, because they were taught like this church is going to condone you, you're going to go to hell if you act this way. And they were taught like that during church. So there are some elders are openly minded, but not all, unfortunately. We want them all, but unfortunately they are not. They're stubborn in our community, but we all love them. We all respect them. I respect them, each and every one of them. They went through a lot. They're still here. So I still have a lot of respect for them. And they sometimes get knowledge. Sometimes they can be a little bit harsh, but which is totally understandable. But this is our elderly in Gujarat.
For the elders in our community, we all, well, me personally, I respect them very much, and I learn a lot from them because they have fragments of our culture that they live themselves, and that I'm sure we can learn from them. But something that I find extremely saddening is how religious the elders are. Because of colonization, they were sort of brainwashed to follow like Catholicism, and it really ruined so much for us, because even now some elders are scared to talk about their own cultures because they still think that it's wrong. And for example, my grandfather and my grandmother on my dad's side, which is my Inuk side, my grandfather is very, very religious, and he attends church all the time, and he's always talking about like these religious things. He goes on the radio to pray and stuff, which it wouldn't be bad. It's just the way that his whole life is centered around this religion, where it's not really, it just doesn't seem fair that this is happening, because we had our own like gods and goddesses. Like we worshiped the earth before the missionaries came in. And I really wish we could go back to those practices. I think we will in the future. But it makes me really sad whenever I see my grandparents or just elders in general talking about God.
We contemplate the wisdom of the past to guide us in the direction we want to take in our lives. And sometimes, that direction is in the city center on a parade float moving at about 4 kilometers an hour with friends and allies at our side.
The idea of making the first Pride came out of me and my friend Abdi talking about Pride and how we were sad. Well, specifically, I was talking about how I was sad that I couldn't attend Montreal Pride once we went there because there wasn't going to be any Pride parades happening by the time that we left or by the time that we came. And that got us talking on the topic of maybe organizing our own Pride parade in Gujarat that's accessible to, you know, people in this town. But once it actually happened, there was a lovely crowd of people that followed us around and attended the parade. And it was great. It was one of the first acts of like queer community that I've experienced in Gujarat. And to be one half of the organizers was a lovely, lovely experience.
Creating a celebration worthy of its participants is not in itself very festive. A lot of time and money is required, and unfortunately, people who have full pockets often also speak with their mouths full of discouraging words.
The biggest problem that we faced this year with Pride is we had a bunch of things organized, and like we were going to fly down a bunch of Indigenous queer youth from the other Nunavik communities, which probably added up to like 12 kids. But we ended up only being able to bring like 3, which is really sad. But the reason this all happened is we faced some homophobia in the board, where a board member made a comment about Pride, and then we had basically all of our funding pulled, and we were unsure if we could even do Pride this year because it seemed like they were just going to cancel it. And then someone appealed the decision on the board, who is an ally, and we ended up being able to get funding, but very little funding, because now the rules for this funding was we were not allowed to fly anyone in to Gujarat. We had to only organize it with what we had in Gujarat, which means no performers, no organizations, and most importantly, no youth from other communities. So me, Toby, and Ray, we started a GoFundMe because we really wanted to get those Indigenous youth here in Gujarat for the Pride because they've never experienced Pride before. So we started a GoFundMe and we started advertising it. And because of this, we got media attention. And because we got media attention, the health board started getting heat for it. So they gave us back our funding and we were able to do the things that we wanted to do, even though it was less funding than before still. So some things were still canceled, but at least we're able to pull through.
Thanks to the support of the community and the creativity of motivated young people, the festivities were still able to take place. And the organizers haven't stopped dreaming since.
For my hopes for the future with Pride in specifically Gujarat is that since I'm moving off to college next year and I don't know how available I'll be to be able to host and plan and be a part of Pride in Gujarat, I really hope that other people can start I hope that my efforts, like starting to like hosting the first Pride along with Apoti, I hope that inspires people to like help host Pride like next year and maybe the year after that and maybe the year after that. I hope people are able to continue what I started in a way that doesn't feel like too show-offy. In a way that doesn't feel too show-offy, I hope that people like continue what I started with the first Pride and that people can start, well, people have been being queer and proud, but without me there. That's what I hope.
Okay. So what I hope in general for Nunavik is that we get more connected to our culture. And in our culture, we have queer people. So I hope that people in reconnecting with their culture find more acceptance for queer people. As for Pride, I really hope that it becomes this huge event with big floats and dancers and singers and performers. And I hope very famous with quotes, performers come to Gujjok every year and then it becomes this big festival. And yeah, that's what I hope.
My hopes for Gujjok Pride is that there's more visibility for queer people in town and that like people who have family members who are queer or coworkers who are queer are more respectful of queer identities now that they've seen that queer people are here and we're not dangerous or dirty or anything. We're just trying to live our lives. And also we're better at dressing than straight people. My main thing that I like to tell queer youth, especially Two-Spirit and queer Indigenous youth, is that times are really fucking hard, especially when you're young, especially when you're Indigenous, especially when you're queer. And like things are gonna seem like absolute hell sometimes, but it's not gonna stay that way. I know it's really common for people to say it gets better, but I mean this as someone who has been hospitalized for attempting suicide in the past, because I thought my life would never change and that it was always gonna be miserable. And my life has gone all sorts of crazy ways ever since then that I never would have expected. And I met most of my best friends after my suicide attempt. And I've heard most of my favorite songs, all my new songs that I know. I've learned them recently, and I wouldn't have known all these things if I hadn't stayed around long enough to discover them. So please, if you're struggling, just hold on a little bit longer. Not gonna cry.
There's definitely hope on the horizon of this northern town. And thanks to these young activists, others will perhaps be able to display their northern lights in the sky of Kuchewak. And who knows? Maybe they'll find what they've been looking for all along. More acceptance in the form of funding. Fierté Montréal souhaite reconnaître le soutien financier du programme de promotion de l'égalité des sexes, de l'orientation sexuelle, de l'identité et de l'expression de genre du ministère des Femmes et de l'égalité des genres du Canada, qui a permis la réalisation de la série Balado « Ensemble pour tous ». Réalisé et scénarisé par Marie-Hélène Frenette-Assad, assistance à la réalisation et coordination Geneviève Corrigan, conception et idéation Samuel Desrosiers, recherche, Steven Gentil. Musique originale, Marie-Hélène Frenette-Assad et Geneviève Corrigan. Montage et mixage, Roxane Potvin. Ensemble pour tous est une production de Fierté Montréal. Mon nom est Coco Béliveau. Merci pour votre écoute.